And I'm a first generation American, you know? Like, it's hard to be first generation because you have to learn how to be American and teach your parents how to be American too, you know? You guys, my mom had never seen Girl Scouts before in her life. Never. First time she saw Girl Scouts, she thought they were Border Patrol agents. In training.
That's comedian and actress Cristela Alonso from her Netflix special, Lower Classy. Cristela is also a trailblazer. She became the first Latina woman to create, produce, write, and star in her own American primetime sitcom, Cristela, which aired on ABC from 2014 to 2015. Since then, she also became the first Latina lead in a Pixar animated film when she lent her voice to Cruz Ramirez in the film Cars 3. Cristela soundtracks her own incredible life and career in her book, Music to My Years, a mixtape memoir of growing up and standing up. Cristela joined us from her home in LA, where she also hosts the podcast, To Be Continued. She says that music has always played a vital role in her life.
It's always been this extra character, this family member that I think actually helps the conversation move, if that makes sense. So it's this weird thing where my mom grew up in a very kind of like a submissive kind of like family where, you know, women were always seen submissive to men. And I always found it interesting that with her, sometimes she couldn't vocalize what she wanted to say, but then she'd play a song and you kind of knew what she was trying to express at that moment. And I noticed it from a, just being a little kid, like I knew that. And I used that as an example for the rest of my life. And I noticed that even though we grew up way below poverty, we were always so happy. Some of the best moments we had were with music. We could just, it always just seemed like it, a song could fill in details that we couldn't encapsulate in words.
Very well said. Yeah. As you mentioned, you grew up very poor. So poor, in fact, that you and your family actually squatted in an abandoned diner for the first 7 years of your life. What was that like?
You know, I loved my time there, and obviously I knew nothing to compare it to. So it really wasn't till I was in my 20s, like I wrote in my book, that I realized that we were squatters. It's that thing where, you know, again, as a child, you're taught everything and you kind of feel that that's just the way it is. It's kind of hard to miss something that you don't know exists.
Yeah. When you were only 8 years old, you had to translate English TV shows into Spanish for your mother, even the nightly news. How did you manage to translate the nightly news for your mother?
You know, you do the best you can. It's really, I mean, it really is. That, I think, is some, that's a skill that a lot of, you know, kids of immigrants have that I think, I always say, a lot of us tend to take it for granted because it's just how we lived. And it's just our experience, but it was hard, you know, because at that point I had to get on a different grade level than everybody I was going to school with. I had to learn about politics and, you know, world events as they were happening, trying to explain them as I was learning the words. So it was really hard. The good thing, though, is that during the news back then, you could actually follow a news story every day. So every time they had new information, you could build on it. So I started making sense of it. And sometimes I think it would make sense to her and sometimes it wouldn't. And I think she kind of just appreciated the effort, you know, but now, I mean, it's a skill that I, you know, it's a skill I still have. I can, you know, I watch anything. I can translate it for anybody in Spanish while I'm watching it. You know, It's a skill that never goes away.
Yeah. Growing up, you were a big fan of the sitcom The Golden Girls. What was it about that show that resonated with you?
I'm a big fan of sitcoms, classic TV. But there was something about The Golden Girls that I loved in that they seemed to have a natural energy, chemistry, where the characters were written in a way where they would insult each other and laugh at each other. There was something about that that I loved because it was real life.
We're a family here. Well, not the conventional one, but We love each other and...
Excuse me, Snoop?
Liar.
Rhino?
Lizard. It's real love, Mr. Benson.
And also with the Golden Girls, I mean, you have an immigrant mother and her, like, first-generation daughter. It's Sophia and Dorothy. And it always bothers me that people don't talk about that angle enough. You know, it's like, it's the same situation I had with my mother, but because Sophia's white and she's from Italy, we just tend to not even think about the fact that she's an immigrant. You know, so it's interesting because to me, that relationship really reminded me of my mom and I. My mom was a short little woman that looked just like Sophia, you know, and, you know, for me, I was kind of like Dorothy, where I was really into school and I was, you know, so for me, it just seemed familiar. And even now, I just don't understand why we never dive into that narrative about, like, immigration, even though, because right now immigration is just a hot topic for so many. Why not use that and see how we treat it and saw those characters depicted in that manner?
That's a very good point. Very good idea, too. In your book, you write about a song by Selena called Dreaming of You. Can you tell me a bit about this song and what it means to you?
You know, Selena is such an icon to so many people in the Latino community, especially Latinas. I grew up in Texas, 2 hours away from where she lived. And it's this thing where when a lot of times when we talk about Selena, we'll always mention her hits in Spanish. And for me, Dreaming of You, that was going to be one of her first hits in, like, one of her first songs in English, you know, crossing over to, like, the quote unquote American market. And to me, that was such a big deal.
Late at night when all the world is sleeping, I stay up and think of you.
We were finally going to show people the specialness of this icon that we all loved. So that song represented so much to me because it almost felt like hope. There's this thing that I feel constantly when I think about, like, my community, and it's hope that people will see that we're just like everyone else. And that song, for some reason, that song sung by Selena, to me was just, it was hope that, it was a light that just flickered and went away way too soon. And it just gave us a hope of what could happen. And it's, again, that's why I wrote the book about songs. There's some songs that it doesn't matter how you feel. When you listen to those songs, they dominate whatever current feeling you have, and they send you back to that moment when you first listened to that song and realized that it was going to be an important song in your life.
I'll be dreaming of you tonight till tomorrow. I'll be holding your tight, and there's nowhere in the world I'd rather be than here in my
You really embraced doing theater in your youth. So how did you end up making the transition from theater to stand-up?
Oh, that's a great question. So my goal in life was to always be on Broadway. I loved Broadway. My entire childhood was devoted to getting on Broadway. You know, I never played outside. I never did anything. Summer vacation, I'd go to the library to read scripts and everything. Like, just enthralled in it. And I was the drama geek in high school. You know, I was president of the drama club. I won all these trophies and everything. And then my freshman year in college, I had a teacher tell me that as a Latina, I could do West Side Story and Chorus Line. And that was it. And it was this thing where the idea was so rare to me because my high school, we were about 99% Latino, and we were doing shows. I mean, we were doing any show we wanted to. My freshman year, we did The Diary of Anne Frank. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so it's like theater was theater. I didn't know that outside of high school, I was going to be limited by other people. So I did West Side Story and I did Chorus Line. And then I figured, well, what do I do now? You know, so it didn't matter if I was talented or good enough. I didn't look the part. So, you know, when Hamilton came out and the Schuyler sisters were different and everybody embraced it, I realized people can suspend disbelief and buy into the story if it's told well. But back then I realized that I loved performing so much that the only way that I would ever get a chance was to write my own stuff. And that's how it switched into stand-up. And at that time, I had taken care of my mom who had passed away. I was so depressed. I couldn't afford therapy. And I started writing about my mom and taking it on stage.
My mom, like, not kidding, she would buy photo frames, picture frames, and she would keep the pictures that came with the frames. And she would hang them up on the wall. And she would call them her white family. And every time we would get in trouble, she would use them as an example. Cristela, you're flunking math. Why can't you be like your cousin Peggy? You know?
And people responded to it. And in a way, I think that's why my stand-up always kind of seems to have this flow where it's about my life. It's about commentary. It's about social commentary because, you know, I grew up thinking that, that's what artists do, right? You hold a mirror up to society and show them their faults, you know, and we think. So for me, stand-up was an evolution of how I was able to do my, like, one-woman show on Broadway.
Fast forward a decade from when you were doing stand-up and started it, and then you become the first Latina to star, write, and produce your own network TV show, the ABC sitcom, Cristela. The show was based on the time in your life when you had to move in with your sister to help take care of her kids and your mother. Why did you want your sitcom to focus on this particular time in your life?
You know, for me, I actually wanted to show people again. I think that when you tell a story, people will always have an idea. They'll imagine it the way they want to, you know? So when I was pitching the show, I was pitching a show about my life at that point where we were all so crowded in a house, trying to make it, trying to, you know, kind of survive in a way. And those times though they were some of my best memories, you know, seeing my mother with, like, her grandkids and just, you know, just kind of having this thing where I wanted to show that. And I wanted to show how you could be happy with not having this, like, wealthy family on TV. And also, I wanted to lead up to my mother's death because I actually thought it was important to show that these memories we were making were actually leading up to this moment that, you know, we would cherish our entire lives.
You don't show someone you love them by giving them movies and raw fish.
No, you show people that you love them by yelling at them and pointing out their every flaw.
Yes, so that they can correct them and become better people.
Fine, you're a stubborn old woman who's too afraid to go to the doctor.
Why are you yelling? You weren't even worried.
Yes, I was. I was hiding it. No one worries more about a mom than I do.
Oh, so now it's a contest.
You make tea, I quit school, I win.
You stop yelling at
22 episodes of Cristela aired during the 2014-15 TV season, but then it was canceled. What happened?
I never got a real bona fide reason for it. I will tell you that at that point, I was guest hosting on The View one week a month during my hiatus weeks. And after my show was canceled, they literally called me and offered me The View, you know, 10 minutes later. So it was really back to back. It was just kind of, it almost seemed so obvious that it was kind of like, you really don't think that I can put these pieces together. Like you think that jigsaw puzzles are way beyond my intellect, you know, like it was right there, really obvious. So it was this thing. They offered me another show. They're like, just come and pitch another show then. We'll get it on the air. And I remember telling them, but you had the show I wanted to do. Like, that was my show. I'm not here to make money. I'm not here to just come up with stories so that I can get back on TV. Like, that was my baby. And I loved it. And I just, that's not who I am. Other people can do that. And that's fantastic for them. but I know who I am and I know what I do. I know what I believe, and I can't do anything unless I really believe in it.
Very well said. To many people who are hearing this, especially our producer Adam's kids, you are not Cristello Alonso, but Cruz Ramirez from Pixar's animated blockbuster Cars 3. Tell us how that experience happened and what it means for you, what it meant for you to be the first Mexican-American woman to lead a Disney Pixar film.
You know, it's really funny because when I got the audition, I didn't know I was auditioning. My agents just told me that Pixar wanted me to fly up there to get a tour of Pixar. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of cool. And, you know, I went up there. They showed me the storyboards for Cars 3. And I, after the meeting, I was like, well, I wish you luck on that. You know, and they're like, no, we want you to audition. I went into the booth and it started out as a small part. But then I would they would fly me up to Pixar to do these voiceover sessions on, you know, at the studio. And between breaks and lunch, I would tell them stories about how I grew up. And they loved so many of those stories that they made it into Cruz's stories. So the character Cruz is actually inspired by a lot of my childhood and a lot of my issues, which is so weird to see me so represented. Like, that character is me.
Dream small, Cruz. That's what my family used to say. Dream small or not at all. They were just trying to protect me. But I was the fastest kid in town, and I was gonna prove them wrong.
What happened?
When I got to my first race, I figured it out.
What?
That I didn't belong.
You have a beautiful story about your mother in your Netflix special. You talk about her in your book, and you, of course, famously had her as a character on your ABC sitcom, Cristela, as we were just talking about. How has your mother inspired you?
She was a woman that came here from a different country with a second grade education, not knowing the language, and she came here because she wanted her kids to have a chance that she didn't. And by that I mean, you know, she and her husband, my dad, they married because he kidnapped her. And that's what they did culturally in the village that she grew up. She didn't want that for her kids. She wanted the kids to have a chance. So she came here. And, you know, when I was younger, when I graduated high school and told her I wanted to perform, she thought I was crazy. You know, she thought I was crazy for having this, like, crazy dream that she couldn't understand. And I always told her, it's funny to me that you don't see how big your dream was. And even though we're poor in this country, we're so full of joy and happiness and have everything we have because of you. Like, don't minimize what you've done.
And it was sad. But at the same time, I thought, how great is it that I got the chance to say that? How great is it that I had that last moment, that I got to tell her how I felt, how much I loved her, right before she died? And then she didn't die.
And sometimes I think about it, I'm like, everything that I've been able to do in my life, everything has been because of her choice. And, you know, she never thought she was special. And for me, I want everybody to know that she was so special because I wouldn't be here without her.
Cristello Alonso, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Cristello Alonso is a comedian and the author of Music to My Years, a mixtape memoir of growing up and standing up. Find out more about Cristello at wpr.org/beta.
I happen to be a very vocal interviewer, so I'll be like, wow, oh man, oh amazing. Like, and I just do that naturally, and then I like cut it all out because I'm like embarrassed of my zealousness.
Radiolab's very vocal and very zealous Latif Nasser joins us to talk about his Netflix series, Connected. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.